Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Al Bean. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al Bean.
Welcome to our third week in the series of Walking Between the Worlds, in which we are exploring the various mysteries of our existence, the various laws underlying our realities. And we have with us today, for the third week, Paul St. John, who is my Newport office manager and a great master in his own right, and also a beloved friend. We are now going to take a look at mysteries revealed, deeper insights into everyday things that we didn't know existed, look behind the scenes into the unseen realms that lie behind the appearances of our existence. The rarest of opportunities is ours, because so many mysteries are now freely coming forward because the Holy Mother of all creation has made them available to us. And so we have been receiving instructions and secrets to usher in a new paradigm of living and metamorphose the species to what the Mother has called the superhuman, the next level of our evolution. So I've asked Paul to come up with his questions today in any aspect that he wants to, so that we can tackle things that we rarely talk about and see what we can do to reveal some mysteries. Paul, welcome again onto the show.
Thank you very much, Almeen. It's my pleasure.
And just go ahead with your first question, and hopefully our light family listening all over the world can enjoy it as well.
I hope so, too. Well, my first question is to gain some insight into what the words and the sigils of Mother's language are, as given in your book, The Ring of Truth. I'm wondering if these sigils and the words of her language are they like doorways of light and frequency?
Well, let's tackle them separately. Firstly, Mother's language can be regarded as a form of white magic, in that it brings about beneficial effects. And in this sense, we define magic as that which alters reality, which manipulates reality. In fact, Mother's language reveals the perfection underlying appearances. So in that way, it can be called a form of white magic. It's connected to her, meaning the Mother that birthed all life and birthed the Father God as her first creation. It is connected to her as a power source, and as a result, awareness clusters into circumstances. Now, what I've just said is just another way to say it manifests at the sound of her language, because manifestation is really the substance of things hoped for, as the Bible calls it, which is awareness clustered into circumstances. And so the sound of her language does that. But on the other hand, the sigils can be regarded as magnets for specific energies, frequencies, and light forms. They also call in, as in the Belvaspatar healing modality, and for the folks that have joined us perhaps for the first time or newly joined, there is a website, and the link is given on our site, but it is the Belvaspatar, BelvaspaTa website that some of the masters have just put up by themselves. But it explains the healing modality that is a gift from the Mother to humanity. It's the purest and most potent healing modality on Earth today, because she gave it directly to coincide with the reversal of polarities within the cosmos. That uses sigils to call in angels, which Mother created specifically for that healing modality. So they also call in, as in the Belvaspatar healing modality, the angels associated with these sigils. As such, you know, you're right. I mean, they can be regarded as doorways that open.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's the way I've been thinking of them, and that explanation is very helpful. Thank you. You also speak about two very sacred books. One is called the Book of Life, which is spoken about in the scriptures, and the other is the Book of the One Life, which I believe you're now actually writing a new book on, revealing this book to mankind. And I was wondering if you could explain to us what the difference is between these books.
Absolutely. The Book of Life, which he's correct, I mean, it's mentioned quite often in the scriptures, and especially in Revelation, where it says that if your name is not in the Book of Life, you know, that you will cease to exist and so on. The Book of Life is a compilation of Mother's highest wisdom, and it is the laws that govern existence around her, or the cosmos with all its creatures. The Book of Life resulted from a time of illusion where remedies were sought by bringing law and order through this highest accumulated wisdom of the Mother to her creations. And I might just add that the Book of Life, whenever a word is spoken in it, reality immediately changes. It determines what is. When the ages of illusion were over, and this happened in August of 2006, the method of creating change went within. So she changes the cosmos by changing herself within. These internal changes, which also profoundly affect our lives, are written in the Book of the One Life. And the Book of Life is still needed, because where there's any portion of existence that is not reflecting that which Mother is as changing herself, in those instances, the Book of Life would be used. So in other words, if something is observed by Mother who has a form that resides in higher realms on the pivot point of all of the cosmos, that fulcrum point upon which the ascension of the cosmos has pivoted, which is the Earth. So in other words, the true Mother of all existence is residing on Earth. And the reason it is Earth is that the Earth is the cradle of civilization. And we know this by looking at the history that the cosmic history keepers gave us, and I took down verbatim, and it's the second half of the book, The Gift of the Unicorns. It's the history of the Earth and its populations and its cycles. So when Mother has found that something in her environment is a reflection of something within her that she can improve, then it's written in the Book of the One Life. And then, you know, she will change that which is without. There's actually a third book, Paul, that I need to mention to the folks, and it's the Book of Two Lives. The real Father, the God of Truth, was not present during the cycles of the fall. In fact, the God that many prayed to during that time was an imposter. We only left those cycles of illusion and the fall in August of 2006, and that is when we encountered the true Father, Mother's first creation. In her interaction with Him, there is a third book called The Book of the Two Lives. And so, relationship issues. By changing it between them, it changes it between Mother and the cosmos. So that's a third book.
Oh, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's very anxious to read the words between the pages, in those pages. So now, when Mother changes herself inside, does this affect only this cosmos, or all other cosmoses and any life outside of them?
Well, because the wisdom of the Book of Life and the Book of the One Life has been placed within every cell, membrane, and space within Mother's physical body and the bodies surrounding her physical form, it is automatically part of every part of existence. This is because existence is a reflection or expression of every portion of her physical being.
Of her physical being.
Yes, I said an Esther. Right.
Wouldn't the non-physical realms be a reflection of Mother's non-physical bodies?
Well, I would have asked the same question not long ago, but Mother has revealed a great secret to me. All non-physical bodies into infinity. And this would include what we call the oceans of consciousness, which, you know, lie around our cosmos with undifferentiated life. In other words, there's no form or differentiation of beings within it, just a mother, but no form. So all of them originated from the one real mother, namely the physical being now on Earth. And this is a secret that was held in the Isis libraries. Mother has divulged it to me. And in fact, the history keepers themselves had intimated as much. So as you can see, if the non-physical kingdoms were reflections of Mother's higher bodies, or, you know, of her other feminine aspects, which she used to keep spaces open, the quality of life would be less. You see, because it would be a reflection of a reflection.
Right.
But instead of being an expression or reflection of the real, it would be a reflection of a reflection, and thus the gap between the mother and her creations would be much larger than it already is. So to summarize, everything out there, including the oceans of consciousness beyond this cosmos, and there are currently no other cosmoses that contain individuated life, that's because we left the cycles of the fall. Everything is a reflection of the mother, and the mother is the form here on Earth. So, my brothers and sisters and beautiful light family out there, let's take a little break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
You've been walking between the worlds with Al Mean. To learn more about Al Mean and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
And so we're back again. We have Paul St. John, the Newport Spiritual Journeys office manager, who is at this time has prepared some questions for us, and so he's asking those so that we can look deeper at the mysteries of the cosmos. Paul, would you please continue with the questions?
Absolutely, Amin. My next question is about the father who you just mentioned before the Christmas, before the commercial break. I'm wondering if, since there's been so much talk about this, the imposter father in the past, I'm wondering if the new father is an impeccable father.
Yes. Let's just summarize in case folks have just joined us. During the multiple cycles of the fall, which we have recently completed, and, you know, as we've mentioned, the history of those are in The Gift of the Unicorns, and that's the latest book that is out as of, let me see, it came out in the summer of 2007. The true God, the Father, had his presence hidden. Distorted gods impersonated him in his absence. So only in the last few months of 2007 has he been reinstated at the mother's side. So who is he really? Well, he was her very first creation. His role during the descension was, as much as possible, because remember he was actually absent from the actual stage play of creation, but it was as much as possible to direct the play as best he could in terms of enhancing its quality. He had the ability to judiciously insert life-enhancing opportunities. During the Ascension, his role is that of eliminating the non-life-enhancing elements of creation. Although his abilities were limited until he took his place at Mother's side, he's now taking a very active role in the elimination of that which no longer serves. See, creation and governing the cosmos have to come under the matriarchy, because whenever the masculine, which is separative by nature, governs, dissension will result. So he's part of a three-pronged government. Mother being the governing branch, he is the judicial branch, deciding what needs to stay, what needs to be eliminated, and then there is another administrative branch that is there.
Wow, that clarifies so much, Amin. Thank you. I'm wondering if there's ever going to be a point in which the role that he's playing, you mentioned it was an elimination of
yes.
that which no longer serves.
Exactly.
Will that become obsolete as everything becomes purified through the Ascension?
Well, you know, I don't know if we will ever reach that point, Paul. I have
okay.
not asked Mother about that at all. But I'll tell you for myself, every phase of evolution that I have gone through has produced massive detoxification and elimination, and I always marvel at where new toxins could possibly be coming from. You know, I finally realized that they came from additional assimilation. There is more to eliminate because although I don't have to, I enjoy eating, assimilating food. You know, and I know you commented just yesterday that I haven't actually eaten for 2 weeks, but
yes.
here and there a little bite, and the little bites are actually just for a little psychological break.
Mm-hmm.
But the cosmos is constantly assimilating in its growth, oceans of consciousness that lie beyond it. And although we have already transcended all levels where previously individuated life had been, these oceans of consciousness hold potential. Some of this we choose to live, and some we don't. It's the Father's task to eliminate that which does not promote the true frequencies of the cosmos. So in other words, no matter how clear the cosmos becomes, if we expand, including another ocean of consciousness, there might yet be potential which we have already gauged to be not desirable in that it's not life-enhancing, that we wish to eliminate.
I see. So we'll still be incorporating further oceans of consciousness. Have we assimilated all cosmoses?
I
was also wondering if what a cosmos is exactly. That might be important
yes.
to stress. Like, is it where individuated life is, or where there is any form of creation at all? And maybe you could talk about what the distinction is between creation and individuated life.
Right. Well, then let's do again what we did before. Let's just divide this into separate sections.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea.
A cosmos lying outside our cosmos that we can possibly assimilate is actually a place where we have already been prior to descending.
Okay.
Wherever there are life forms is a place where we descended from. Now, during our ascension, we have completely assimilated and ascended through any realm or cosmos, and a realm is a specific level of a cosmos where life had previously existed in form. Where we are now, we have never, ever, ever been before. What we are now assimilating are levels of individuated consciousness and its oceans of Mother's being with no individuations within them, other than that there's a personality of the portion of Mother that it represents. The difference between individuations and creations is that individuations can be individuated consciousness, whereas creations, you know, as a generic term, can also include the form these consciousness take. So, in other words, creations can consist of an individuation, each of us consisting of a consciousness superimposed over all that is, for example, and or form. And the first part of creation is to individuate consciousness, much the way our sub-personalities, such as the inner child, is an individuated consciousness. So, you, for example, or you were created first as an individuation. The way that your inner child lives within you, it's not separate, it's not outside of you, but it is simply a unique perspective superimposed over your inner space, if you will. So the first step to forming Paul, St. John would be to do that. And then the second step is for those individuated consciousnesses to create form within the various realms of a cosmos. This is where our higher selves come from, our formed aspects in higher and higher realms. In cosmoses where we have been, we therefore encounter higher aspects of ourselves. Because life is bursting into higher and higher realms where we have never been before, we no longer encounter higher aspects of ourselves there. Did I make this clear? Or?
Well, I followed along, but perhaps a further question then will help make it a little bit clearer. If we're not actually encountering higher aspects of ourselves in these levels of the cosmos that we're entering, how do we guide our lives under these sorts of circumstances?
Well, we used to encounter higher aspects of ourselves outside of the cosmos. We now have higher aspects of ourselves within the cosmos only.
So are these like new higher aspects?
As the cosmos grows and ascends, as it is currently doing, our higher aspects or selves are continually changing, and it happens in the following way. Okay, so we are a consciousness spread across the cosmos, filling all portions and aspects of life within those boundaries. The cosmos is like a life form that pulses between complexity and simplicity. So at times, it has more realms than others. The number of our higher selves is therefore based on the number of levels of life in our cosmos at any given time. Our higher selves are simply those portions of our consciousness which occupy the levels of life the cosmos is divided into. And like those parts of a stream that's seemingly separated from other parts until the dam sluices are opened, for an example.
Okay.
So the cosmic realms are like our bodies. We have carefully described the bodies of man in most of our books, particularly the more refined bodies that surround the physical bodies, and we've got them, I think, in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, don't we?
Yes.
Okay, well, our cosmos, no matter how large it grows through assimilating more oceans of consciousness, is nevertheless divided into orderly segments, forming higher and higher realms. So, you know, I will now disclose information that will be a first for humankind to know, and that is that there are exactly 1,920 realms within our cosmos at all times. Individuated life and forms, other than that of the mother and father, only exist in the lower 288 levels. Each of us has a higher aspect in each of the lower 288 realms. In other words, each life is guided by their own 287 higher selves above the physical. So as you can see, Paul, there are multiple higher selves helping us in our lives.
Right.
And to my great surprise, I found that although they make sure that no great harm or interference prevents us from living our lives as intended, there has, since the cosmic ascension began, which is in February of 2005, been a great deal more self-determinism given to our physical aspects. So, to my surprise, I also discovered that physical life has greater discernment and wisdom than those higher bodies. The bottom line of this is that signs in our environment provide more guidance than we would generally receive from our higher selves. And in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, we have a full interpretation of symbols and signs. But, Paul, I'm getting a little high sign there, and it's time for us to close for a few minutes so that we can have a commercial break, and then we'll be right back. Please stay with us, folks.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Al Mean. To learn more about Al Mean and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to Walking Between the Worlds. And today we have Paul St. John that has prepared questions to ask me so that we can look at the deeper mysteries of existence, the things that are not normally answered. And so we'll go back to Paul, and have you got a next question for me?
I absolutely do. Before the break, you were speaking about our highest form of guidance being the actual signs in our physical environment around us.
Yes.
And it reminded me of in August of this year, there were so many people experiencing accidents. I was wondering if you could explain perhaps what that sign was an example of.
Okay, well, for a short while at the end of August 2007, we lost our electromagnetic shields as we changed into a whole new plane of existence. And during those times when either they are lost or very much weakened, doubts, old belief systems, negative thoughts of self and others, anything like that, will manifest just immediately. Even thoughts that one is not really fully conscious of, but were planted in the mind by a movie or television, for example. And it's so important that parents watch what goes into their heads and into their children's heads through television and music, because it will manifest every time we hit a spot where those electromagnetic fields go lower.
Well, I think that's definitely a good caution for all of us with so much media in our environment these days.
Yes.
Well, let's go back then to talking about mother. You've explained before that, or at least I've heard you reference that various aspects of mother, I've heard you speak of them almost as if they were outside of her. So I was wondering how there can be external aspects of mother, the one infinite being.
Well, there isn't really. But you know, earlier in the show we explained how within the cosmos our own higher bodies are divided. So here is, say, somebody, and around them there is an etheric body, then emotional, then mental, then spiritual-emotional, spiritual-mental, then the spirit body, and so on. And then there are more and more higher bodies, all the way to the very membrane that contains formed life, which is the membrane of the cosmos. So think of mother the same way. Really, we are not our bodies, nor are we experiences. We are a consciousness as vast as the cosmos, having those experiences. For us, that has been the most real part, is the vaster consciousness. Well, where does that consciousness originate from? The body, in our case, originated from that consciousness. With mother, it's the opposite way around. We are, after all, like a mirror image to her, you know, and so we are in many ways not reflecting accurately back to her that which she is. When one looks at a newspaper in the mirror or even your face, you're seeing it differently than you would see it head on, because it's reversed. But for mother, her original form originated the consciousness that is without. So it's not from the consciousness that the form came about, it's from the form that the consciousness came about. It took me years to uncover this.
Yes, that's quite a revelation. Wow.
And it just goes on forever and ever and ever. There's no end to it. The more she grows, the more luminous those oceans of consciousness, which is just divided into realms for the sake of order. And it was in May of 2007 that for the very first time, when I was in Toronto with you, actually, Paul, the class up there, that I, for the first time, communicated with one of the mothers that is the oceans of consciousness.
Yes,
but all it is a portion of her.
Right. Wow. That's. I think it's going to take some time for people to wrap their minds around that. That's
yes, because you know that such power can come from such a small source.
Exactly. And it really puts into perspective the profundity of what you're talking about in terms of the mother residing and reigning from Earth over the cosmos in the next few years. That really puts this whole movement into quite a larger perspective.
Yes, and you know, if I may just interject then, so this governing soon the cosmos from Earth, Mother is governing the cosmos already from Earth. The only people that don't know it is humanity.
Right.
So all beings everywhere know that she is governing and her word is law, and that the Father by her side is, you know, the righteous judge. There's another that actually is doing the administration and so on. But the point of the matter is that they're the only ones that don't know. That is why so much of my work has been geared for the last years in making Mother's Palace physical. Many of the masters in my classes are walking between the palace and real life, and it's as real as this life, but nevertheless, from the physical, when we touch its walls, our hand still goes through. So to get it physical has been a large part of this work.
Wow, well, that's certainly a work worth doing.
Oh,
I'm very happy
imagine
to be involved.
Yes, it would change humanity forever to know, you know, that they're not alone anymore.
Right. Well, Almeen, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about something that, it's a question that has arose from reading The Ring of Truth, where you talk about the healing modality Belvaspita, and how this new modality that was transmitted from Mother to humanity through you heals with light and frequency, because healing with energy no longer works. Can you explain a little bit what the difference is between light and frequency and energy?
Yes, I'll do my best. It's not an easy one, but...
I know.
Okay, so the geometry that forms the matrix of creations. For example, let's take your pineal gland. The matrix around your pineal gland is in the form of the flower of life sphere. It has a 20th sphere containing 19 overlapping spheres forming a flower of life. Well, it's a matrix, but it's not static. The fact that we think we have platonic solids that are static with angles and joints is part of the illusion. The matrices of the cosmos, and where it's vitally important is specifically in the DNA, actually are moving rays of light, so that they form, if you will, the grid work, and then the energy creates interior design, if you will. So let's say the light moves. It creates the grid work for a building.
Okay.
The frequency will then start to fill in the gaps. It's the sheetrock that lies behind it. But then comes the interior design. And first it's done energetically. And then from energetically, it goes into form. So that is literally how things move through that. That's one explanation. The other explanation that we can give is this. Now, firstly, I need to explain that there are different forms of energy. For instance, love. Love can be an attitude. If it is an attitude, then it would be not only an emotion, but it would have an perceptual component to it. It would be that you keep the vision of that which evokes the emotion. So when it has that mental component, then you're actually talking about an attitude. Love also is one of the building blocks of existence, in that it's a frequency band that spans across the cosmos and is therefore a building block. So it forms one of the directions. Love is also an emotion. Emotions are based on desire. And love in that case would be the desire to include. Energy is the same. Energy is also a form of light. Energy is that which is released when any form of lower living yields to a higher form. It releases energy. Energy is also frequency, and there is 96 frequencies called heart energies. So again, energy is not just one thing. But if I may, we will go a little further about those wheels, but let's just take a quick commercial break.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
You've been walking between the worlds with Al Mean. To learn more about Al Mean and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. And we have just mentioned that there are vast wheels that span the cosmos. 96 frequencies in one wheel. One such wheel is heart energies. The other such wheel is physical expression. The other such a wheel is, for example, states of being. There are vast wheels. Light moves through these wheels. And so these are really the true frequencies of the mother. The frequencies that are obsolete is fear, anger, protectiveness, and also pain. Their real part, which is their cosmic counterpart, no longer exists. Instead, if you go to the Belvaspata, BelvaspaTa website, you will find the frequencies that are now the true frequencies, the tones of the Infinite's voice. So, Paul, we can spend a whole section on this, but why don't you head on into the next question?
Okay, well, this is shifting topics a little bit, but I think it's an important issue to discuss. It's about the roles we play, particularly at the levels you work at and the levels that many of the masters in your classes work at. I have witnessed that some roles can at some point be unpleasant, and I was thinking that it might be a more accurate expression of mother to have her roles be played out in completely joyful, loving, and fun ways, expressing those frequencies you were just speaking about those ones that are actually truly part of reality, more so than those that are currently obsolete?
Paul, I just want to tell you something before I start, and then I'm going to explain the way it was up to today.
Okay.
But something in my heart, just when you say those words, Mother needs to be approached about this, and I need to ask her if it can be changed. Because you're right, light workers have been living out other people's stuff. And it has to change. Learning should come through laughter, through fun. I mean, you and I, when we are at our tiredest in our office, we laugh and we fall out of our chairs.
Yes, we do.
Because, you know, it lightens the load. Something doesn't feel right about the way it is. And I will ask Mother if this can be changed. But let's look at how it's been. See, a backup plan had to be devised in case the dissension went too far, which it did. This backup plan helped save the cosmos from plummeting into irretrievable tailspin. This backup plan was that the major cosmic pivot points, namely some of Mother and Father's first children, the leading gods and goddesses of the cosmos, and the major way-showers, who are the ones that would listen to our show, would themselves become vehicles to transmute these cosmic issues. And this, in fact, had to kick in, and part of it was due to the inactivity of Mother's feminine pieces. In other words, they're unwittingly promoting the drama by watching the TV screen of existence, rooting for the good guys, you know, cheering for them, but forgetting that they had a contract to help, and thus they didn't lift a finger. And this was a major part of why the dissension went further than anticipated. But the other thing was a flaw in the initial design. So all of these pivot points truly did become cosmic saviors. The Father himself became 100% conduit for the cosmos. Without all of these sacrifices, it would not have been possible for us to catch ourselves and turn the plummet, which was so rapid and so deep, and change it into an ascension. So at the beginning of November, which is last month as we speak, 2007, Mother changed this because there's no longer a chance of such a fall. And now these pivot points express 75% their own issues, which is primarily those pure frequencies of Mother, and 25% of the cosmoses. And this is until the cosmos learns to take full self-responsibility. It's a weaning period. I will ask Mother today if this weaning period can be over.
Well, that's very good news, Almi. I'm sure that many listeners will be very appreciative of that work. I know you do hours of similar work with Mother a day, and I'm sure that it's all wonderful. And it's nice to know specifically that you'll be tackling something so important to so many people. So I just, I'd like to clarify, are you saying now that the roles we play for the cosmos will will be able to take them off and on like a hat, so to speak, and that we'll be able to more frequently see ourselves, or perhaps all the time see ourselves as the masters we truly are? And
I'm hoping all the time.
That's wonderful.
Mother said it was a weaning period, and the light workers were still carrying 25%, but the weaning should be over. So shall we talk with the folks just a tiny bit about this issue of the new bands of frequency, like divine sovereignty?
That would be a good idea. Particularly how divine sovereignty and autonomy relate would be very helpful to understand. I think we did touch on it a little bit last week, but...
Well, just in case there are folks with us for the first time, there are vast bands of compassion, frequency bands that don't move, but just vibrate on the spot. And there are seven major ones that represent the four directions, the above and the below and the within. In August of this year, we moved from the four directions into the horizontal axis, which is the three directions. And so some of the previous frequency bands actually ceased to exist. And the ones that took its place is unity within diversity as its quality, and autonomy, as well as divine sovereignty. So these ideal ways of existing that we've been speaking of in our classes, they've been placed in the Book of Life as the way existence functions, because everything we uncover is put there, and the moment it is there for everyone. It's just that when we are pulling along a cosmos where a huge portion of it didn't get it, another portion didn't want to live that way, we're pulling along a lot of baggage. And so an important question for the very high light workers to always ask themselves, is this my stuff? And if it is not, you simply live it out with awareness. We've actually digressed from autonomy and divine sovereignty. And I would like to take the time to explain that to the folks.
Okay.
Autonomy, let's go back to the direction of above. The direction of above in this horizontal wheel with the three directions of above, below, and within in which we live. This, in fact, is, the above is unity within diversity. Now, that means that there's one goal, one mind. There's different ways of living towards that goal, but let's say a community forms around raw foods. And, that's their goal, and people do it all their own way. Now, autonomy is actually diversity within unity. And what that has to do with is recognizing the unified field of the heart, that all things are connected through the heart. And then you take responsibility for the mirrors in your life. You recognize that at every given moment you have co-created what is before you, and you examine it firstly within. You then change within to change without. Divine sovereignty is the way to live with the mother. And mother and the father have formed a unit. But it is where there's a constant underlying current of love, praise, and gratitude sent towards them, little periods during the day in which it's actively expressed, and in return, they become your energy source. And this then truly becomes the source of eternal life and immortality. Beloved brothers and sisters, there are so much more we are going to be exploring with you. We are now today only in our third of 13 such discussions. And I hope you will join us for each and every one of them, because you are truly the ones that make this show possible. Thank you so much, and my love to you is my light family.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean.